There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. It's Monday and a brand new week in the best of paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm Dave Schrader, that guy. Well, that's Tim Dennis at the Supernatural News Desk. How are you, Tim?
Doing well.
Got a whole new week to fire off, and we've got some great topics. I just want to mention tomorrow, if I can.
Sure.
The skull experiment. This is something we've talked about over the years, but I've had the hardest time to get anybody involved in this case to do an interview.
Really?
Documentaries are out there. Books are out there. Radio, TV interviews, all this. And I couldn't get anybody. Luckily, one of our other guests had an in for me and connected me with Robin Foy, one of the two main players in the story of the skull experiment.
Huh.
So tomorrow, we're going to look at the afterlife investigations, the skull experiment, which I think is probably one of the finest paranormal documentaries I've ever seen.
Okay.
I know it was on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
Might be on Hulu or Amazon, on YouTube, I'm sure. Check it out. If you haven't seen it, watch it, folks. This is astounding. It is really one of the coolest, I think, one of the most interesting experiments. And it was done over like a five-year span. And the results were amazing. So tomorrow we're going to talk with Robin Foy about the skull experiment, and it's True Crime Tuesday tomorrow, Tim.
Yeah.
I have always been a huge fan of Bob Crane. Hogan from Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yep.
Loved that show. I loved and respected the guy. He was a radio guy.
Yeah.
Who, man, he pushed, he broke boundaries. He did. He was kind of one of the first morning zoo radio guys. Did you know that?
Oh, yes. Yep.
And meaning that he was that wacky sense of humor, kind of playing outside the boundaries of this morning, Dow Jones Industrial, you know, and then giving the real dry reads. He was funny. He was witty. He went on to star in TV, theater, and movies, and he was brutally murdered. And that case is considered an open case still, a cold case.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk with Bob Crane's son, Robert Crane Jr., on True Crime Tuesday tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
We're going to talk about the case, the sex, the drugs, the rock and roll of his father's life, and the untimely brutal murder and unsolved case of the death of Robert Crane. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah.
I've seen documentaries.
Oh, yeah, me
I've
too.
I've read books,
mm-hmm.
including Mr. Crane's book that we're going to talk about tomorrow. Love that book. Wow. Just astounding. And this guy's had an amazing career on his own. But to hear this story firsthand, you guys are going to want to check this out. If you have not subscribed yet to True Crime Tuesday, then what the hell is wrong with you people? Go do it. It's $5 a month, Tim. $5 a month. I think that breaks down to like 15 cents a day.
Yeah.
That's it. About 15 cents a day. And you get great content delivered every week and access to all of our past archives. Just go sign up. Go to darknessradio.com. Click on the True Crime Tuesday banner. If for some reason you can't find it, you can't find a way to subscribe, just email me, your old pal Dave, at dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. I'll send you that link. Go sign up. $5 a month. You get 4 brand new episodes every month. You get I Knew a Murderer. You get Dumb Crime, Stupid Criminals. You get fascinating stories. Check it out. Some of the best and bizarre true crimes in the world, all in one place. But let's get started this week, Tim. I know you've got a lot of stories to share, and we got a lot to get through, plus some parashare for a little bit later on. Let's get launched off. Where shall we begin today in the world of the supernatural news?
The Nazca Tomb Mystery. Dave, that's where we're starting this
week. Nazca Tomb Mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're wanting to know what happened to them. The Wall of Silence over alien mummies. That's where we're starting today.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Researchers are investigating the case of alleged alien mummies found in a tomb in Peru, and they have seemingly gone silent about the case for months. The Gaia.com team was posting video updates about its unearthing Nazca investigation repeatedly from the summer. Now, its sixth and last video featured scientists claiming six three-fingered and toed apparent corpses reportedly found in an ancient crypt in Nazca, Peru, had once been alive and walked the earth. The video was released in September and promised more news, with the narrator saying, "Coming up, will DNA sequencing finally reveal the nature of these mummies, plus further study of the elemental composition from the samples taken?" Steve Mara is a British-based UFO investigator who is not part of the Gaia.com team, but jetted to Peru to make his own documentary about the mummies, shown on YouTube. He also promised further installments after releasing one video in August. Express.co.uk contacted him to see if he knew why Gaia.com went quiet. He said, "I do, and it's a hell of a story. We got there in the end, but not exactly what we thought. Sorry for the cryptic stuff, but we will reveal all to you on completion."
Mm.
Parts two and three videos of our documentary are in production, he said. Other UFO buffs who had followed the case were also left in the dark. Nigel Watson, author of the UFO Investigations Manual, who believes the videos were all an elaborate hoax, said, "I'm not very impressed with the Nazca mummies. For a start, they have the implausible feature of having six fingers, and even worse, they have not been investigated by respected scientists. No, I have not heard anything," was the quote. Jamie Mawson, a Mexican investigative journalist on the Gaia.com team, has described the mummies as one of the most important discoveries of the 21st century and suggested on camera they are actual alien corpses. He said in an earlier video, "People have to understand that these kind of bodies have always been in the hands of government and the military. It is the first time we have had this chance, and we have to take it," he was quoted as saying. However, there has been no word from Mr. Mawson and on the latest developments either. Express.co.uk contacted Gaia.com through its website to ask what has happened and pose the same question to Mr. Mawson, but await response. Many have suggested that the mummies were created by grave robbers who stole real ancient human remains in the area and constructed the bodies before passing them on to paranormal investigators. The organizers of the 9th Annual World Congress on Mummy Studies, which took place in Lima, Peru in August of 2016, issued an angry call on Facebook for an official inquiry into whether archaeological crimes have been committed. The Congress brings together world experts in mummies and skeletons in a new location each year. Under the heading "The Fraud of Extraterrestrial Mummies," that's pretty strong, translated from Spanish, the Congress said it believed real human mummified remains had been mutated and rearranged to create bogus alien-looking creatures. Commenting on the DNA results, British UFO investigator Nigel Watson said it shows it has a male human skull and hands. Another fake bites the dust. It is understood an official inquiry was launched by the Peruvian government. However, in the last Gaia.com video, one of the team, Dr. Konstantin Korotkov, deputy director of St. Petersburg Federal Research Institute of Physical Culture in Russia, said DNA carbon dating and CAT scan tests had shown that they were one body that was once alive. He said there is no doubt the three fingers and three toes belong to this body, so it was proven that it is real.
It'll be interesting to see how this whole thing unfolds.
Yeah.
It's definitely weird. Great job. But you know what I often wonder? In those kind of cases, listen, a lot of the royals used to inbreed. I think they still do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but they wanted to keep their bloodlines pure, right?
Right.
So could these be kind of malformed children of these, you know, weird offshoots? Or if they were grown with an extra finger or three toes or something to set them apart,
mm-hmm.
were they looked at as gods?
That's not out of the realm of possibility.
It'd be interesting to see how they respond to that. There is not really a follow-up, but if you go to the last story, it's also dealing with Nazca.
Right. The truck driver inexplicably plowing over a 2,000-year-old site in Peru, damaging the designs. And in this, a truck driver in Peru damaged the 2,000-year-old Nazca lines after officials said he ignored warning signs and drove over a portion of the UNESCO World Heritage Site. The Nazca lines are large designs that were scratched into the ground surface between 500 BC and AD, AD 500, rather, on a coastal plain south of Lima. UNESCO calls the site one of the greatest enigmas of the archaeological world. They cover about 290 square miles and depict creatures, plants, and imaginary beings, as well as geometric designs. Peru's Ministry of Culture said that Janier Jesus Flores Vigo, 40 years old, was arrested for the errant drive on January 27th, in which three of the geoglyphs were damaged, although he was later released after a magistrate concluded that there was insufficient evidence to show that his actions were anything more than a mistake, that according to CNN. Local prosecutors have appealed the ruling. Flores Vigo's drive left substantial tire marks across an area of about 150 by 350 feet on the site.
I'm not laughing because I think it's funny. It's just like these things have survived weather, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of the natural elements, winds, everything. And some chucklehead 2,000 years later.
Took a drive of the truck.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hope, you know what I hope they do is, I hope they turn this around so they show it happening, Nazca, Peru, blah, 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 and they show the guy bouncing around in the truck, and then they show the overhead view at the end when they're wrapping him up, and it says Jeep or something. You know, it'll take you everywhere. There should be an advertisement that takes that over.
It should be a Super Bowl ad.
Yeah.
According to UNESCO, the region's ancient inhabitants drew on the arid ground a great variety of thousands of large-scale zoomorphic and anthropomorphic figures and lines or sweeps with outstanding geometric precision, transforming the vast land into a highly symbolic ritual and social cultural landscape that remains until today. The designs are believed to have been important for astronomical rituals. It's not the first time the site had been trampled on, by the way. In 2014, Peruvian officials said that Greenpeace activists...
Right, I remember reporting on that.
Right, left a line in the rainless desert that the government said would last hundreds or thousands of years during a stunt to place a message calling for renewable energy and their logo next to the geoglyph of a hummingbird. Well, that was nice of them. Authorities plan to...
What do you think will happen in 1,000 years from now when the next generation of people rediscover that after the nuclear holocaust?
Oh, I'm sure they'll think it was some sort of great fire bird that was meant to be put out there.
This is the giant bird known as Greenpeace.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
The Greenpeace bird. It was meant to be some great symbol of the environment that we ignored. Authorities plan to increase security around the site, this according as well to CNN, while the culture ministry monitors areas with the largest concentration of geoglyphs every day. It may not be fully protected, that according to Johnny Isla, a spokesman for the ICA branch of Peru's Ministry of Culture. He told that to Andina, a state-run news agency. Entry and transit are possible through valleys and streams where the archaeological area spreads out. In the coldest village on Earth,
Just run one into another.
That's fine. But that's the end of that too.
Listen, we know you people love our show. Please do not go out and deface the Nazca lines by writing "Listen to Darkness Radio."
Although you know,
if we encourage that nonsense, we're going to jail.
No, we don't encourage it. But a nice promo somewhere wouldn't hurt. Not the Nazca lines.
No.
A nice promo, but maybe a nice billboard somewhere.
And
in
maybe
LA.
Just mow our image onto Tom Brady's front lawn. That'll get a lot of attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I threw out a call to the listeners. Mm-hmm. I said if anybody could find an episode of Ghost Adventures in a foreign land, remember that?
Right.
And they could find me a clip with me and my overdub voice.
Yeah.
I wanted to hear it.
Okay.
Well, Daniel Gangemi, I hope I'm saying that right.
Okay.
Gangemi, G-A-N-G-E-M-I.
Okay.
Gangemi? Mm. Gangemi. Sure. I think it's Gangemi.
I'll let you go with it.
He sent me one, but I couldn't open it up. It wouldn't allow me to play. It was Ghost Adventures Les Ranch Stardust.
Okay? Oh, yeah. Okay. Stardust Ranch.
The Stardust Ranch episode. So here it is. I'm going to try to play this and give you the best possible quality audio
you could forward it to me.
Are you ready? Hold on.
Okay.
All right. Now, I have to play this very backwards country attitude here. I'm going to play it off of my phone into my microphone.
All right.
Now, this is Zach and I talking.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
You'll hear him say, okay, Dave. And that's like the only part that's understandable. So that's Zach in the whatever language.
Okay.
And then I come in.
All right.
Which I think this is French.
All right.
Les ranches de Stardust. All right. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
On va te laisser là et retourner au ranch. S'il se passe quoi que ce soit, appelle-nous. Mais sache qu'on mettra un peu
de temps à venir
jusqu'ici. J'ai pas trop envie de garder le
temps. This is me.
Je veux avoir le sentiment d'être fichu s'il m'arrive quelque chose. Je veux me sentir seul, même si je sais que vous finirez par revenir me chercher.
Oh.
Je vais même te donner mon
portable. Do I sound continental, Tim?
You do.
Donc, tu me donnes ton portable et ton talkie-walkie parce que tu veux 100% seul.
When I'm turning over my phone and walkie-talkie, here I am.
Ils ont l'air de pas se montrer s'ils savent qu'on peut contacter les secours. Je comprends, mais tu es perdu en pleine nature. Je sais. S'il t'arrive quoi que ce soit, tu ne pourras pas nous joindre. C'est ça. Tu es sûr de toi?
Oui.
Dave restera seul sans téléphone ni talkie-walkie.
Ça. That's what it sounds like to hear Zach tell me I'm completely nuts in French.
I feel like I should have a croissant and a bottle of wine.
Although it just sounds like one guy kind of narrating for both of us.
It's out,
and then Zach said, blah, 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 and Dave said, blah, 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 blah.
I think he might have simplified it a little too much there. You know?
I'd love to know if it's in like Polish or Czechoslovakian.
I think that is French.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
The little bit of seventh grade French I had, I think that's French.
Really?
Yeah.
You think with all the French I've had.
Well, that doesn't count.
No, that doesn't.
No, that's not the French we're talking about.
Where are we off to next?
Secret police files, Dave, audio files to be exact, could prove that men were telling the truth about alien abduction. This, according to a researcher, secret police audio files from the, what is this, Pasquale?
Did your voice just hit?
Pasquale?
I'm pretty sure dolphins and whales have just beached themselves thinking you're calling them home.
Pasquale? Pascagoula abduction.
Okay.
It looked like Pasquale could prove that the men who claimed to be abducted by aliens were actually telling the truth, according to British ufologists. Yes, that's a real title, believe it or not. Philip Mantle. The tapes feature conversation between fishermen Charles Hicken and Calvin Parker, who said that they had been captured by three alien creatures before eventually being released. The incident took place in October of 1973 when the two men, at the time, age 42 and 19, respectively, were fishing near Pascagoula, Mississippi, Pasquale, Mississippi.
I don't think that's it.
No?
No.
There's not an Italian section of Mississippi?
Hey, welcome to Pasquale, Mississippi.
That's more southern Mississippi, yeah.
Is it? Yeah. Okay.
That's the deal. We got a good spaghetti. And we got a Cajun food.
I don't think so.
No? Mm-hmm. They claim that they heard a strange whizzing sound over... Strange whizzing sound, Dave. Yep. And in the river, nonetheless. And they saw a levitating oval-shaped spacecraft. Oh, you got to see the picture of what they saw. It looks like a mummy alien. A door opened, and out came three humanoid creatures with lobster-like claws, lobster claws, Dave, and carrot-like growths in places of nose and ears. It's kind of like a southern snowman.
So, with... crawfish claws.
I
think these guys were just hitting the gumbo a little too hard, if you know what I mean.
There's a little bit too much spice in the gumbo.
Mm-hmm.
When the creatures seized them, both men reported that they went numb and paralyzed, and Calvin said he fainted from fear. Oh, haven't we all been there? Audio recorded by the sheriff's department when they reported the incident, which has been obtained by the Sun, show that the two men were keeping to their story even when cops had left them alone in the room, suggesting that they genuinely believe their own tale, and according to Mantle, in turn, proves that they were telling the truth. I've got to get them home and get to bed, or get some nerve pills, or see the doctor or something. I can't stand it. I'm about to go half crazy, Calvin is heard saying on the tape. He was all a titter. I'll tell you when we're through, I'll get you something to settle you down. Make sure you get some damn sleep, Charles replies. I can't sleep yet. like it is, I'm just damn near crazy, he's quoted as saying. Well, Calvin, they brought you out of that damn thingy. They brought me out. God damn, I like to know how they got you straightened out, man, is the quote. Yeah. My damn arms, they hardly moved. My arms, they just froze up and I couldn't move, just like I stepped on a damn rattlesnake.
Oh, my arms would be moving.
Oh, yeah. They didn't do me that way, though, they, was the quote. Charles claimed that he was examined by what looked like a large mechanical eye that scanned his body, according to the Sun, while Calvin claimed that he couldn't recall much of what happened. In the audio, Calvin continues to tell Charles, I passed out. I expect I never passed out in my whole life. I never seen nothing like that before in my life. You can't make people believe in that, though. I don't want to sit here and start, and then it goes inaudible. They better wake up and start believing. They better start believing, he goes on to say. Calvin starts to talk about the specifics of what they saw, saying, I can't figure out. You see how that damn door come right up, rather. I don't know how it opened, son. I don't know, Charles replied. And then something inaudible is said, and he says, you look around in front of your very eyes. These sons of bitches, just like that, they come out. I know, you can't believe it. You can't make people believe it.
So what's happened is they were running a recording during this entire moment when there were no investigators there.
Right.
This is just the banter between these two gentlemen that are really trying to process the experience they just had.
Right, and they're kind of going
pretty,
back and forth.
That's pretty cool. That's more enticing to me, isn't it, to you?
A little bit,
so they
yeah,
just sat there kind of quiet.
They're freaking out, yeah.
You'd think there's something wrong about that, too, because if somebody left the room and you and I were sitting there, I'd be like, Tim, what the hell just happened to us?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we would totally discuss it if it really happened.
They go on back and forth a little bit. Calvin goes on and says, you know yourself, I don't drink. They're going back and forth talking about how they don't drink, how they don't do any type of substances. They're talking about how they got to get back to the house and whatnot. Philip Mantle, who was once a director of investigations for the British UFO Research Association, said that the unique close encounter had fallen by the wayside and has largely been forgotten to many UFO researchers. It was with that in mind that in late 2017, I reached out to Calvin Parker and I republished the book on this fascinating event, Mantle went on to say. I've also been asked by a colleague who works in the film and TV industry to consider a movie based on the experience of Charles Hixton and Calvin Parker. Irrespective of that, there is no doubt that this is one of the most unique close encounters on record, he's gone on to be quoted as saying. So there you go.
Hmm. Well, that's intriguing. I'd love to hear the actual audio.
I think there's a lot of Southern that there and this there and that. And you're not that there, bam, ding, 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 ding.
Thanks, Boomhauer.
I couldn't read half of it because I couldn't understand it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Just saying.
Where are we going next?
Well, don't sound so excited. You're like, where are we going next?
I'm a little disappointed they ain't willing to come forward.
We continue with the UFOs. You may remember a former musician. I don't know if she's former or still going. Kim Wilde. You remember Kids in America?
Yeah. We're the kids in America. Whoa.
Yeah.
That song?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's still around, but this time she's afraid to be abducted by aliens. She's afraid of the aliens in space as opposed to the kids in America.
Mm.
Yeah. Kim Wilde is paranoid she'll be abducted by aliens after spotting a UFO above her house. The Kids in America singer was spotted massive lights shooting over her Hertfordshire back garden. We call it a backyard here. And she's worried that they'll come back. She's revealed that she's terrified of being abducted by those aliens after she spotted a UFO over her house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my audio fired off on me. Sorry.
That's okay. The Kids in America singer says she spotted massive lights hovering over her Hertfordshire home in 2009 and believes it was an alien spaceship. Yes, she kept on hanging on. I get the reference. And Kim still lives in fear that they will return to beam her up and force her to perform for the alien overlords. Oh, God. Talking to Attitude Magazine, she said there were a couple of massive lights.
She's afraid they're going to force her to perform?
Yeah.
We love Keep Me Hanging On.
Do it one more time.
Talking to Attitude Magazine, she said there were a couple of massive lights just above the clouds going backwards and forwards in an extraordinary way. Quite a lot of people witnessed them. It made the local papers. Kim is now 57 years old and has sold 10 million albums.
Have you done, Tim?
To who? I don't know.
Wow.
Probably most of them to her family. And had a global chart hit with Kids in America in 1981, Dave.
Wow,
I don't know if you know.
Does that make me feel old?
That long ago. She added, I said to my husband that maybe the captain was a big Kim Wilde fan. Of course he was. He was time traveling. And wanted to know where I live. I think he was the only one.
What a narcissist.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid she's going to listen to this and call me. We haven't talked in years.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, wow, you actually talked to her once?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I used to talk to her poster. Isn't it the same thing?
Yeah, I think so. She probably tuned in through the poster. I'm worried he's going to beam me up and I'll have to sing Kids in America to him for the rest of my life. I think your life will be short-lived. It'll probably kill you after the first three times. Wow. Kim is releasing her first album of original songs since 1996. I didn't know she released one then. I think most of the world doesn't. Aptly named Here Come the Aliens. That's the name of the new album, Dave.
Oh.
Mm.
You know what I have to say about that?
What's that? Ah, yes.
That's what I think of Kim Wilde's story. This may be the lamest publicity stunt ever, Tim.
Yes, it is.
And I've seen a lot of lame publicity stunts.
Yeah. She's also about to embark on a new European tour, Dave, which starts in Ipswich.
Come on, tell me. Don't leave me hanging on, Tim.
I'm not. I'm giving you all the details right now as fast as I can.
It's going to begin in Ipswich?
Ipswich.
Yeah. When is she going to come see the kids in America? Whoa.
Hopefully, it's very few of them.
Mm-hmm.
She added, when you see something as extraordinary and maybe extraterrestrial like that, you're never quite the same. Holy cow, that's what she looks like now? She looks like somebody's grandma.
No, I'm kidding.
I believe that they're here already or visiting, watching us. I haven't gone loopy, she's quoted as saying. I just can't stop thinking about it. Oh, they can't stop thinking about you either, Kim. Mm. In 2014, Kim became a viral sensation after drunkenly singing to commuters on a packed train because they're the only ones who would listen.
Really?
Yeah. The impromptu performance was a little off key, but was shared to almost 2 million times, I guess, on social media. Kim admits it was not her finest hour. She tells the magazine.
I think we've got the audio.
Oh, do we?
The actual audio. Yeah. I'm not kidding you.
Really?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see if I can get it on my hi-fi.
Yeah, on your hi-fi.
Let's see what we got here.
It's Friday, the 14th of December, 2012. Just sitting at home, really having a beer, getting ready to watch the telly. Anyway, I was on the net looking at YouTube. I like YouTube. Some pretty cool.
I like the narration.
Lots of interesting stuff on there, stuff you won't find anywhere else, that's for sure.
Yep.
All these videos that are posted by different people.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Yeah. Anyway, there's a video of King Wilde. As a singer. I mean, she still is a singer. I say was, she still is a singer.
Not for long.
She supported Status Quo last year, and I think the year before that as well, on a tour in the UK. Had a couple of hits back in the early 80s.
Let's just get to the actual song.
Okay,
all right. Here she is aboard the train.
Okay.
Everybody's having fun.
Oh, okay. We just want to ride the train in peace. Do-da, do-da.
It's the worst song I've ever heard.
Well, it's...
Until this one.
Until this one, yeah.
And I love all the people's faces are not happy with her rendition.
Yay.
We can edit all that out. That's
She tells a magazine, I don't think I could have been more drunk. Obviously.
I think she could because she was still able to stand and sing.
Well, she said, I was absolutely paralytic. Obviously not. The words sound great in your head, but when they start coming out of your mouth, they all tumble over each other. It's hands down the most humiliating and embarrassing aspect of it all. There you go.
Yeah. And the good old-fashioned way.
Hey.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
Guillermo del Toro. says his real-life UFO sighting left him surprisingly disappointed. Some moviegoers, a little bit disappointed in some of his movies in the past, kind of felt the same way. Although The Shape of Water evidently is a very good movie. I missed it.
I want to see it really bad.
Yeah, I do want to see that. Recent weeks have seen an increase in the number of people who are willing to discuss alien visitations and UFOs, much like Kim Wilde. Oh, my God. As it turns out, though, the reveal that the Pentagon has been monitoring these events has led to a lot of people to feel more comfortable about discussing their own personal experiences without being accused of lying or getting too drunk, like Kim Wilde, to be able to tell fiction from reality. For the most part, people who have been staring at these experiences have been recounting a sense of wonder and mysticism that surrounded their close encounters. Not Guillermo del Toro, however.
Mm-mm.
Though in sharing his own UFO story, the director of the Oscar-nominated The Shape of Water is more interested in critiquing the appearance of the flying saucer he spotted. Evidently, way too much time with special effects, Dave. In Del Toro's critical opinion, the strange UFO that he once honked a horn at really needed a better design.
Hmm.
Speaking with the Hollywood Reporter, Del Toro, I can't get enough of the O's.
Reporter Del Toro?
Yeah, Reporter Del Toro stated, "You sound like a complete lunatic, but I saw a UFO. I didn't want to see a UFO." And then he laughed. "It was horribly designed." Oh, he's giving the thumbs down on it right away. He says, "I was with a friend. We bought a six pack. We didn't consume it. And there was a place called Cerro del Cuatro, Mountain of the Four. And outside in the periphery of Guadalajara, we said, let's go to the highway. We sit down to watch the stars and have the beer and talk. We were the only guys by the freeway, and we saw a light on the horizon going super fast, not linear. And I said, honk and flash the lights. And we started honking, and it went from there to here, like 1,000 meters away, in less than a second. And it was so crappy."
You let a guy direct a couple of movies, and suddenly he's the critic.
Yeah, all of a sudden he can direct the stars and the moon and the UFOs. "It was a flying saucer, so cliched, with lights going like this. It's so sad. I wish I could reveal they're not what you think they are. They are what you think they are. Seriously, like, I have never been that scared ever in my life. We jumped in the car, drove really fast. I kept looking. It was following us. And then I looked back and it was gone. So, you know, judge me. I have no implant."
Mm-hmm.
That's his quote.
As far as he knows.
That's right. "Alas, as much as the creator of Pacific Rim would have liked to be impressed with what he was seeing, it turns out that a lifetime of creating designs for weird and wonderful monsters meant that he was actually face-to-face with what he believed to be a UFO. He couldn't help but be a little underwhelmed. Of course, it's hard to take Del Toro seriously. It says to take Del Toro seriously, an objective witness considering his sobriety at this time. Drunken UFO sightings are, although he said he wasn't drunk, this says drunken UFO sightings are often attributed to a single obvious explanation. And in this instance, it sounds like the easiest possible explanation for what the acclaimed filmmaker saw was that he was simply too inebriated to correctly identify a plane, drone, or completely pedestrian flying object." But again, he says he didn't drink anything. "Just because Del Toro himself wasn't able to identify what he was looking at, it doesn't mean that this was a UFO. It also is a little difficult to take him seriously, as immediately after describing his UFO experience, he went on to talk about one of the times he saw a ghost. Del Toro is a fantastic storyteller, and sometimes it's hard to know when to stop when your imagination is this active. That said, while many professionals remain skeptical about the reality of UFOs, it isn't entirely impossible that some of these sightings don't come from extraterrestrial sources. Even if aliens aren't visiting themselves, we might be getting spotted by automated drones that are seeking throughout the stars for signs of intelligent life. This kind of alien hunting system is definitely one that humanity would put in place ourselves if we had the technology. For now, we all have to assume that Del Toro is merely a master of monster fiction, but who knows? Perhaps one day the acclaimed director will be vindicated in his claims that UFOs are real."
Excellent. Where shall we go next, sir?
Well, we continue on about a man who a father, rather, who films a frightening footage of the moment a neat freak ghost, wouldn't we all like one of these around, pulled the wardrobe door closed as he and his wife got their baby girl ready for bed. Here's the story as it happens. A dad claims to have captured frightening footage, although if it's a neat freak ghost, how frightening can it be? You need one around to clean up. Frightening footage of the moment that a neat freak ghost pulled a wardrobe door closed as he and his family got ready for bed. Now, a dad of three, Sean Reynolds, was lounging on his bed with his partner, Rebecca Palmer, 34, as their seven-month-old baby, Ella Palmer Reynolds, was there when the doors of their wardrobe started to move. The 34-year-old believes he was witnessing some sort of paranormal activity and quickly started filming the action on his mobile phone. He asked the spirit if they would move the doors again on the closet and was left gobsmacked when the wardrobe was pulled shut or the closet was pulled shut from the inside. Sean then opened the closet and found only a mess before suggesting that the supernatural entity may be dropping hints for the family to clean up. You messy people. Paranormal investigator Sean, who lives in a haunted house in a graveyard, thinks the bedroom spook might have followed him and Rebecca home from filming their latest series of their show, Ghost Dimension. Sean, who lives in Liverpool, said it was frightening to witness and also amazing to know we had just caught this on camera. I quickly ran out to the car to grab some equipment and investigate further. On location while filming our ghost hunts, the team always places spiritual protection around us to keep us safe from these types of events, but it's clear that a stronger force may be at play here. We're not sure yet what the spirit's intentions are with our family or why it has followed us home, but we will find out and ensure our family is protected and safe. This footage captures just one of the many paranormal incidents that the family claims to have experienced since moving into their home in 2013. The stunning Georgian home called Labyrinth Lodge is more than 200 years old and sits in the heart of Everton Cemetery. A former cemetery groundskeeper, nicknamed Ginge, lived and died there prior to the family moving in, and his spirit used to regularly visit his old home, according to Sean. But after an incident in which Sean claims Ginge's ghost shouted at and terrified his daughter, Isabella Palmer Reynolds, the parents called in a psychic medium to expel the tall red-haired ghoul. Sean said Ginge is actually buried next to a tree inside the cemetery, not far from the home. After a couple of weeks of living here, we started to hear small knocks and noises, which we put down to the house being old. As time went by, the bedroom door started to open on its own while myself and Bex were in bed watching television. We could see it happening, and at first it really frightened us, but after it happened, after it happened so often, we got used to it. There we go. After Isabella actually witnessed a tall red-haired ghostly man in her bedroom shouting at her, we called upon a psychic medium to ask the spirit to leave the home and leave us in peace. The house was nice and silent until recently. As we've been filming our Amazon Prime series, the activity appears to have returned. On one occasion, while I was out filming, Bex was at home with her mother, Trish. Our kids were at my mom's, but the baby monitor in the girls' room had been left on. Bex and her mom actually heard a sinister laugh coming from the monitor. That's never fun. No one was home to make the noise, and Bex was very spooked. She called me to see if I was actually home and playing a prank on her at the time. Yeah, there you go.
So they heard this like creepy, sinister laugh coming through?
Through the baby monitor, yeah.
Yeah, time to burn the house down.
Yeah, it's just time to torture down. Just grab a can of gas and a handful of matches. And
no, we don't encourage that often.
Well, get the baby out first.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, that's key. That's an important
Then
part.
Light her up. Flame on.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All right, sir, where are we going to go now in the world of supernatural news?
In the world of, I see I'm all wound up about DDP yoga. Okay, here we go. Cambodian actress allegedly is possessed by a ghost while shooting.
Why do you laugh? This poor woman's possessed by a ghost and you think it's funny?
I think it's just character acting, Dave.
Wow.
Yeah. Other Bollywood actors have also experienced paranormal activities on the set. You know, sometimes I think, Dave, that actors just get carried away with the whole character acting thing.
Well, maybe not. Maybe she legitimately got, I mean, if they're not doing a scene about possession.
Well, let's find out.
Okay.
Actors have to go through immense preparations when they're working on any project, especially when it is horror or drama films. The intensity of their work is comparatively more. A recent happening while shooting a horror film is gaining all eyeballs currently. A video has been going viral on the internet, which sees a Cambodian actress being possessed by a ghost while shooting a horror movie. The actress apparently got possessed on the sets and even tried to harm her co-star. Some media reports state she tried to, it says to coke another actress with a wire. I think
choke, Tim.
Yeah, but it says coke.
Yeah, well, the people make mistakes.
I would give her some cocaine with the wire.
God, you're bad news.
Yeah, you put the coke on the wire, Dave, and then you take and you make her snort it.
That's the worst idea I've ever heard.
And maybe they should check their spelling.
Well,
because I'm gonna say it the way they wrote it.
No, just say it the right way.
She tried to coke her out with a wire.
Oh God.
She put coke on the wire and shoved it up her nose until it wouldn't go any further.
She tried to choke her with a wire.
Oh, okay. And witnessing this incident put the crew in trauma. Well, yeah. I mean, how far is that wire going to go up her nose? I mean, eventually it's got to stop, Dave. It's just got to stop.
I wish it would.
While the non-believers may say it is all a stunt, there have been incidences which claim that shooting for such scenes does attract negative energy. The video, which has been shared online by one of the crew members, sees the actress dressed in her character sitting silently in the room and then walking across the room while the rest of the crew stood in shock. There hasn't been any claims of authenticity, however, of this incident. Without agreeing or disagreeing with whatever may have happened actually on the sets, there have been instances even in Bollywood, although comparatively Bollywood horror genre remains unexplored. Few actors have had paranormal experiences on the shoot. Ranveer Singh, while he was preparing for the role of, I believe it is, forgive me, I'm not a huge Bollywood fan here, Dave, but I believe it is Bajairo Peshwa for the film Bajairo Mastani. Please correct me by emailing me. I look forward to it. I had a remotely close experience. We have read and heard the actor talk about his intense preparations, which involved him staying aloof, locking himself in rooms and sorts. While talking in one of the interviews, he had revealed about a trippy experience he encountered. He felt some presence around him and said it was Peshwa himself. He was quoted, "One day, some white dust settled on a black wall." Cocaine, Dave, cocaine.
Oh.
On the set, and the dust took the shape of Bajairo, I think. Cocaine, Dave. It has the turban, the eyes, nose, the mooch, and the arms of cocaine, Dave. Real or not, the zany actor managed to play the character flawlessly because of the cocaine, Dave. Another incident happened on the sets of Guna and Mukesh Mills. Bipasha Basu, bless me, has acted in several horror films, but on the sets of the film, she experienced some strange things. In some of the rooms, she could just not learn her lines. Even the director observed some strange things. While the same shoot was going on, another girl was shooting for another project. She started behaving possessed and died later. Cocaine, Dave, it's a hell of a drug. Since that incident, even Bipasha has refused to shoot at that location. Actress Soha Ali Khan and Mahi Gill have also experienced paranormal presence while shooting for Gangs of Ghost. The team was shooting at a haveli in Gujarat, I believe. And both the actresses felt someone was following them. They even heard some strange noises coming from empty rooms. Soha had said, without wasting any time, all the cast and crew members packed up to avoid any unwanted happenings. We cannot completely deny or agree with the existence of spirits, but there have been so many experiences while shooting on such projects which involve ghosts and paranormal activities. If the video of the Cambodian actress is genuine, then it is quite a scary thing, which could have proved dangerous to the members of the team. So there you go.
See, and you're just poo-pooing on this poor girl.
I am. I just think she got carried away.
All right.
From the cocaine, Dave.
How many more do we have here?
The cocaine. I have one left.
One left. Let's hear it, sir.
This having to do with an angel statue, which is an alternative to angry protests. Ooh, this could get political. Strap on your baby pants, kids, in case you get angry at protests. A statue of an angel erected, I said erected, on the side of a disused building was put up as an alternative to angry protest, according to an artist. It appeared at the disused Bristol Royal Infirmary building on Bristol's Marlborough Street on Monday. The sculpture depicts a woman wearing sunglasses, carrying a Guy Fawkes-style mask, and making the American Sign Language sign for I love you. Uh-huh. The artist said it was something a bit more peaceful than violent protests. The artist, who wishes to remain anonymous, told the BBC there was so much going on to cause people to protest and get angry at the moment. I wanted to do something to offer an alternative, something a bit more peaceful. We've all had the ruck about the NHS with demonstrators marching in London and the violent protests with Jacob Rees-Mogg at the University of the West of England the other day. Sometimes it's nice to put something that offers an alternative to that. He said it was the 15th artwork he had put on display in Bristol and that he had put up more in other parts of the UK. There you go.
That's it, huh?
That's it.
All right, well, let's do this. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll dive right in. We've got your stories next on Parashare.
Beyond the darkness,
hello, welcome back to the show. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness, and you can get all of the best paranormal swag by visiting darknessradio.com and click on our killer deals link. If you click on that, it's going to take you into our Amazon page where Tim and I have hand-selected all the books, the DVDs, the ghost hunting, Bigfoot hunting, and alien hunting equipment, clothing, and more. It's all there under one umbrella for you. And Tim, a lot of people have asked me, why don't you guys add more of this, or I need one of these? Here's the beauty of it. If you go in using our link, anything you purchase, once you get in there, search around, find what you want. You're looking for a pair of waterproof boots? If you search after you've gone in through our link, whatever you buy, a small portion of those sales are going to go to help the show. How about that?
That's nice.
So it makes it easy for you. You can buy whatever you want. You don't have to buy the stuff we've put up. If you find better things, things that you know you want, things that you know you need, just help your old buddies out. It doesn't cost you any more. And that's what we could use for a little bit of help to help with the administrative costs of the show. All right, let's get started into some Parashare, shall we, Tim?
All right.
We can get the microphone to stop swinging away from me. It's like a ghost hand moving it here. Hi, Dave and Tim. I listen to Darkness Radio and want to share my experience with shadow people. I worked for a private security company from October of 2014 to May of 2015 and was put at a wine cellar company in San Miguel, California. The property was a laboratory for making wine and testing different ways or ingredients of making wine. The property is in the middle of nowhere. It's about a 25-minute drive east from Highway 101. The shift there was 8 p.m. to 4 a.m., and we were to park at the top of a hill where we could see down to the entrance, then see to the right where the office and cellars were, see behind where the ammonia tank was, and see to our left where the grapevines were. Now, the office was locked, but we had a key to the door inside a large master lock that is used by realtor agents where you put in the code and the slot then can be open and the key to the door is in there. We only use the office for the restroom or to call when you got there at the beginning of our shift using the landline, and again to call our office at the end of our shift and to leave our daily activity report on the main office desk. The first activity I had was towards the end of my first shift and went in to finish my paperwork and to call at 4 a.m. to leave a voicemail. That way my boss knew I was there until 4 a.m. When out of nowhere, the printer turns on by itself, Tim.
What?
A haunted printer, Tim.
No.
And the printer itself is the type where to turn it on, you have to take it out for wine, Tim, and maybe a movie. Tell it how beautiful it is and start earlier in the day. You don't have to begin right at the end of the date trying to flatter the printer, Tim. You want to begin earlier, maybe when you wake up in the morning saying, hey, your cord looks great this morning, and I noticed that your paper and your reams look really stacked, if you know what I mean. That's just my tips. I could be wrong, Tim.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of it's a kind of deal. But the printer is a type where to turn it on, you have to press the power button and hold it for 5 minutes in order for it to turn it on.
Well, you got to cuddle it.
Oh, yeah. Well, once you can find the button, Tim, if you can get your finger on it, hold it for 5 minutes, it'll finally warm up and turn on for you.
It's an older one then.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, you know, it's a good tip for anybody that's running into that problem.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Just put your finger on the spot right there on that button when you find it.
For like 5 minutes.
5 minutes turns it right on.
Wow.
Then I heard steps go from the printer around to the conference room, around the corner from the printer. So I checked the whole office, but I was the only one there. And I couldn't process why I heard steps from the printer since I was the only one there to begin with. But still went and checked the rest of the office. Well, maybe the ghost is getting uncomfortable on how long you had your finger on the old power button and how long it was taking you to turn that machine on.
Right,
Because obviously the ghost did it on its own.
Right.
Boom, and boom, it's on.
Yeah.
Right? No holding buttons for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Rookie.
Yeah.
In the past, there had been some issues with trespassing. It was mostly former employees, but every once in a while, it was people that never worked there. So they ended up putting sensor spotlights where the sellers were at. From time to time, the lights would go on and off. I'd go and check, only to find that nobody was on the property. But I started to see shadows, Tim. Shadows out of the corner of my eyes. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until one night. I always left the light inside the office on in case I had to go to the restroom so I could see where I was walking, since I had to go up some stairs to get to the lock or to the dock to where the door was at. For some reason, I looked toward the office, and in the window was a shadow. It looked as if it were looking back at me. Only could see the torso and the head. No arms, no legs, Tim, and no eyes. It was just a shadow from the waist up. I saw it for a few seconds, and I looked down. And when I looked up, it was still there. I looked down and back up, and now it was gone. 2 days later, I was talking with my supervisor, and I mentioned what I had been seeing. He just simply tried to laugh it off. But it was a nervous laugh, Tim.
Hmm.
Almost as if he knew what I was talking about, but didn't want to admit it. A few days later, me and another coworker were scheduled to work. We called the office, and I was the one that was told to stay while my coworker waited for his wife to go and pick him up. He asked me if I'd seen any strange activity going on, and I told him, if he means trespassers, he said no. No, he said he had been seeing shadows on the property, Tim.
Mm.
I then said yes, and he was more happy than scared. I guess it was validating what he saw and that both of us were not just imagining things. Or were they both imagining things, Tim? In December of 2014, my cousin was 18 and a senior in high school and was interested in becoming a California Highway Patrol officer. But you had to be 21 to go to the CHP Academy. And it helps if your name is Ponch or John, Tim.
It does. You graduate quicker.
Yeah. What was John's replacement? Remember, John left for a while. Ponch then got a new replacement, like Skip or something, right?
Good Lord.
Ponch and Skip.
Look it up.
No, you don't have to look it up. Nobody cares.
No, they do, Dave.
The local recruiter suggested to him that he take criminal justice courses at a community college, and if he wants some experience with dealing with the public, that he should consider getting his California guard card and getting a job as a security guard. So he came to me and asked me about what he had to do to get a security job. So I told him that since he was on the winter vacation, if he wanted to, I would take him to work with me. And he said, yes. That night I picked him up. And for the first hours, I explained the process of getting his guard card and told him some stories of things I've seen people do. He ended up falling asleep around midnight. Well, that's never a good sign, Tim. When you want to be an overnight security guard and you're conking out by midnight, the immortal words of my forefathers, Tim, no bueno.
Right.
No bueno. That's German, I believe, for no, that's not good.
Right.
Yeah. He ended up falling asleep around midnight. I continued to listen to the radio and look around when out of nowhere, about 1 a.m., my cousin started to freak out and say to me, "Who is here and what is that? And did someone come to the office?" I tried to calm him down and see what was happening. When he finally told me that he had woke up from being asleep, he looked at the window in the office and saw from the waist up a shadow in the window. And that he felt like it was looking back at him, Tim. And then he saw it and it ran off and disappeared. That's always, shadow people are kind of elusive that way. Dear Not God. A big surprise.
Yeah.
I told him I didn't see anything that night, but that my coworker and myself had seen that shadow before, but usually they just leave us alone. And that I had gotten to the point of simply pretending like I didn't see anything. My last activity was in May of 2015. I got my mandatory schedule, and on a Saturday, I was off from this location at 4 a.m. Then I was scheduled to work a beer festival from noon to 5 p.m. How do I get this guy's job?
I don't know.
With wine and beer all day.
Right.
Yeah. I was scheduled to work for a beer festival from noon to 5 p.m. and then to be back at the Cellars at 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. I didn't have a choice. Since it was a mandatory schedule, whatever was on the schedule, I had to work. So around 10 p.m., I couldn't fight off from falling asleep, and I doze off only to wake up to my vehicle being pushed or shook. Like when someone is joking around and pushes a vehicle, the first thing I thought was, great, I probably got a surprise visit from my supervisor at the time. Another coworker was caught not being on the property when the night crew went to spray the grape vines there, and they couldn't find the guard on duty. After my boss looked into it, they discovered that this coworker would go call in, stay for a few minutes, go home, and then come back in time to call in at 4 a.m. at the end of his shift. So as a result, we were getting supervisor visits at different times of the shift. So I started to get out of my vehicle thinking how I was going to explain my dozing when I saw the shadow standing just a few feet from my vehicle. And then it ran off. The best way I can explain it was like a TV show, The Flash, where the main character runs off and it's just a blur. After I saw that, I was wide awake. There was no way I could have fallen back asleep. A few days later, I moved out of the area and found a job with another security company.
Bobby Hot Dog Nelson.
And I'm glad I never went back to that property. Was that like an exclamation of excitement? Like, hot damn!
No, that
You're
was
like,
the...
Bobby Hot Dog Nelson!
That was the character that replaced John.
Oh, Bobby Hot Dog Nelson.
Yeah.
That doesn't roll off the tongue as much as Ponch and John.
No, the actor was Tom Riley.
Good old Ponch and Hot Dog. Which sounds like a really good snack. Yeah, I'd like to order the Ponch and Hot Dog.
Oh, I could go for one of those right now. Actually, you want to know an interesting fact here, Dave. Tom Riley, the actor who played Bobby Hot Dog Nelson, was arrested by actual motorcycle officers for suspicion of driving while under the influence of drugs. He pled innocent to the charges, but his role was reduced in the series Chips, and eventually the series was canceled.
Didn't they bring John back at some point?
They did, yes.
Yeah. Nice going, Bobby Hot Dog Jones or whatever your name is.
No, Nelson. Bobby Hot Dog Nelson, yeah. Dave.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Tim.
Hey.
It's Guess Who? Savannah again.
Hey.
With something that's come up as a recent moment being the last couple months or so. Usually I would just chalk experiences up to whimsy and love to write about them. Sure, I believe in the paranormal and that there is a supernatural reason behind these kinds of things, but I don't seek them out of my own free will. This kind of thing just usually shows up when it wants and leaves when it wants, an ebb and flow, so to speak. Well, talk about ebb and flow, huh? Back when I was a kid, I lived in Italy for a while, Tim.
Italy?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Things were great. I don't have many bad experiences or memories of my life there. The ones that are few and far between, but not much to dwell on anyway. Now, like I said, I don't have many bad memories, or at least I thought I didn't. You know how we can sometimes unknowingly suppress memories that we may have subconsciously think of as traumatic or horrible? I do. I still suppress many of those memories when I'd wake up in the morning with Tim spooning me at college.
I just needed a hug.
Suppress them and try to push them into a deep, dark hole, kind of like he was trying to do. Anyway, to protect ourselves from what had happened, I think I've suppressed a few of those, and you'll understand why. this particular memory kind of hit me out of the blue, like a Debbie Gibson song, Tim. It didn't have anything to do with what I was doing or what had happened that day. It was just simply a random recurrence that made me stop. It was of my childhood when we were in Italy. And I vaguely remembered not really taking a liking to our hallway that led to my bedroom. Though the reason never quite occurred to me, with this sudden memory, that reason came back to him. It was a woman, at least 8 feet tall, with a gruesomely broken face that had deep holes for eyes and pale skin.
So she played hockey.
And lived in Minnesota, similar to the hue of a waterlogged corpse. She was frighteningly twisted and broken, kind of scrunched up and beaten, but still able to tower to the ceiling. The best I can describe her physical appearance is of an atrophied human whose body had been crumpled up and then violently ripped apart so that every limb were out of socket and jutting at odd, unnatural angles. Your kind of girl, Tim.
Yeah.
Very bendy.
Is she available?
All she did was scream and stand in the middle of the hallway.
Oh, she sounds hot.
Yeah, that'd be a good reason to suppress that memory.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably be why the one hauntingly vivid image that I do have of her involved me absolutely breaking down and screaming and crying. I mean, I was five. Who wouldn't lose it over something like that at that age? Pff, wussy. Suck it up, Savannah.
My sister used to do that all the time, too. You don't see me being afraid.
So there's the ebb. Put away and locked from my memory for good reason. And fast forward. And that's the way she wrote it to me. And it's A and a bunch of A's. Fast forward to a couple of months ago, nearly 13 years later. Oh, so she's about 18 years old, Tim.
Oh.
Because she was five in the first story. It's now 13 years later. Kicked off one shoe to help me get to that, but I counted it up, and that would be, in fact, 18, Tim.
Wow.
I lucid dream a lot, to the point it's a normal occurrence, show off. I don't often dream without it being so. I guess I believe in astral projection. I have piles upon piles of stories about the supernatural that I often experience, and will probably now be writing to you too often. So get ready to be annoyed by this archive of self-experience. I don't know if this is what one would consider astral projection, some out-of-body experience or something else, but what I do know is that I was both conscious and dreaming. Sounds like being high, Tim. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That's kind of straddling consciousness and dreaming, I've been told.
Really?
I read in a book.
Interesting.
I had fallen asleep and opened my eyes in my bed. Naturally, it's dark in my room, just the slivers of an orange street lamp just outside to barely illuminate the more superficial parts of my room. From my bed, I knew I was laying down, facing the corner of the room that was my closet. The door was closed. It was as if the black got blacker. It was cold, yet became colder. The distant light no longer existing as I took a few deep breaths and just watched the closet. Before long, the handle clicked. Like that?
Sounds like a gun.
It's one of those old handles. And the door softly swung open. What? It's a door swinging open, Tim.
Oh, like a board.
What?
Nothing.
Not violently, not pushed or with force. It was like it had just come unlatched and naturally decided to open itself. In the next few seconds, I wanted to scream, but I couldn't. I wasn't able to make a sound or move or even open my mouth. Like I was simply paralyzed. It was her, the woman who stepped out of the closet, bent to accommodate the low ceiling, and following her, this massive, inky, black substance that was both shadow and tangible being. So obviously, I screamed.
Like Prince?
Mm-hmm. No, that'd be more like, ow! Isn't that kind of more of a Prince?
Yeah. I wonder how much the airfare from Italy was to get there.
That's what it sounds like when doves cry, Tim. Yeah. This time it actually came through. With it, I was able to sit up and scramble backwards into the wall away from these things. And about the same time, my bedroom door just about put a hole in the wall when it popped open forcefully. Through it came a figure. It was a man I had seen before in dreams and just in the general sense of being in sleep. He was short with dark hair and what appeared to be tattoos covering half of his face. Or were they burn marks? Maybe spiders. Who knows? Not me. I'm half blind anyway. That might have taken a little bit of the credibility away from the story. I'm just going to say.
Curious how that happened.
What, the half blind?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we'll find out that in a future story. Okay. So this guy just kind of rushes my room, and in the next second, I'm still in my bed. All of the lights are on, and all of the figures in my room are now, you guessed it, Tim, they're gone.
What?
Deciding to lay down after turning out the lights, I sigh, and I take a few breaths, and calm myself, closing my eyes. It's not easy doing these sound effects, Tim, I just want you to know. I could still feel my heart pounding and the yells in my ears.
Ow!
Like the sound of the door and the way the woman looked at me burning behind my eyes. And I wake up in my bed. So, yeah, I'm pretty much done after that. I don't know who she is, don't know why all of these people chose to terrorize me shortly or where they came from. What could the guy be? What could this woman creature be? And why after 13 years has she chose to come back now? Is there an explanation to just what the skiddly darn diddle is going on here? Like I said, many questions, many experiences. As far as I'm concerned, I go about my day and burn pipes and dragon's blood as often as I can. So, is that what the kids are calling it nowadays?
I think so, yeah.
Hey, you want to come on over and burn some pipe, Tim? I got some dragon's blood.
Little D to the B, you know what I'm saying?
Your turn. I salt my room and cleanse it as often as possible. White candles, obsidian, the whole nine yards. What Wiccan doesn't try cleaning out those bad vibes? I think what irks me most is that even with all the cleansing I do in practice, this is still able to come into my room. Even in broad daylight, my sisters will refuse to go in because they hear hissing. Psss. Psss. Is that more of a psss? Or a, what would a hiss be? Just psss. Is that a hiss or is that a psss? I don't know what noise to make for this one, Tim. Help me out.
It could be like a...
That's more like a...
That's cleaning your glasses.
Oh, God. So why? Why could this all happen collectively? That's all I have for today. I try to keep it short. That, and in the middle of writing this, all the dogs have gone ballistic. It's the best I got for ballistic dogs at this time.
That's kind of mellow.
It's
for
late. And I had the light scared out of me when it sounded like something went rampaging through my mom's room. That's why I keep her door shut when I'm home alone. Thank the football gods the Eagles won. Savannah, who is still salty at Brady. Time to move on, Savannah. Got to move past your problems.
I only have one question.
Uh-huh. Just one?
Everybody knows when you move to Italy, it's like moving to Kentucky.
It's Italy, Tim.
When you move to Italy, you keep the accent.
Uh-huh.
Do you still have the accent?
I don't know.
Do you still sound like Father Guido Sarducci?
Should I have read it in the Italian
accent? You probably should.
Accent?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I heard of the hiss. Hi, Dave and Tim. This may be better as a theater of the mind. It's up to you. It's a subjective tale, but 100% true.
Oh, my.
Should we do that as a theater of the mind? It's a kind of short theater of the mind. I'll tell you what. Can you knock out the sound effects while I read it, and we'll just do a kind of a quick theater of the mind? It's a very short story.
Sure.
So I don't know that we want to do it as a full-on.
You want me to play Dougie Fresh to this one?
Yeah, I want you to be my mouth box. What do they call that? My beatbox? My mouth organ? What do they call that?
Your fart box?
Yeah, no.
What?
Okay.
All right.
Whoa, did you just see that?
What? No.
That was really weird. I'm not touching the mouse or anything.
All right.
And all of a sudden, the story just started to scroll up and down, back and forth by itself, Tim.
Whoa.
All right. This may be better as a theater of the mind. It's up to you. It's a subjective tale, but 100% true. Here goes Dave and Tim, generic theater of the mind. Dreams are a very personal experience, and there's really no way to prove what one did or didn't dream. But I swear... this is the true story of a dream that I've experienced in the early morning hours of January 1st, 2017. I've always been a somewhat lucid dreamer. For example, if I dream I'm in a pond and a shark attacks, I can think, this is a dream and sharks don't live in this pond. And then the shark would disappear. If I think I need a boat will appear. Is that a cow driving the boat? What was that
yes,
noise?
It was. Okay. Bessie the cow.
My dreams don't always work this way, but it happens often enough for me to count myself among the lucid. This story is about such a dream, or at least I thought it was at the time. Last New Year's Eve, I celebrated quietly at home with my husband and went to bed shortly after midnight. I was exhausted from the holidays, work, and life in general. Mm. I had been spending a lot of time with my elderly father and his siblings.
Eh? What's going on over there?
Go quiet down.
You quiet down, you old bastard.
Helping to care for them. While I love them dearly, at times it can be an exhausting labor of love, and sleep is a valued commodity. I fell asleep quickly that night. At some point during my slumber, I began dreaming. While in the dream state, I noticed strange noises in my house. There were loud thumps and crashing dinnerware.
I don't know what that sounds like. Sure.
Coming from the next room, silverware, cups, bugs and saucers all being banged around. Bugs?
Bugs?
I mean, I think she meant cups and saucers. Oh. Unless she's got big bugs. I don't know. Silverware. Silverware. Cups.
Oh, my God.
Bugs and saucers all being banged around. Everything was dark. And though I tried flipping the light switch. How about that? Give me the. The darkness was unrelenting. I stumbled into the kitchen to look for a flashlight, but found none. I thought to myself,
I had better get some candles.
And that was the thought process.
Oh,
I had better get some candles.
And I immediately found and lit a candle. As the candle's glow lit the room,
like a road flare, yeah.
I noticed that all my kitchen cabinets were open. That's weird. This must be a dream, I said to myself. And then the plates and Tupperware began to fly from the shelves and hit the floor. What are they? Carbonated Tupperware? I then wasn't completely sure I was dreaming and thought, my God, there's a ghost in my house. I walked from the kitchen down the hallway as dishes continued to crash to the floor. A cold wind began to blow all around me. Making my candle flame flicker.
That's not a flickering flame. That sounds like a wet oyster.
And chilling me to the bone. The bathroom off the end of the hall was lit by the orange glow of candlelight, and I slowly tiptoed over the threshold.
Tiptoe through the tulips.
Praying all the while that there would be no one there.
Dear God, don't let there be anybody there.
As I stepped in, the cloth shower curtain bellowed back and forth. And a deep, rumbling, horrific laugh started to build from inside the tub.
I'll let you do that when you do a better rumbling. There you go.
I was terrified. The wind was blowing louder now. And the sound was all around me. Filling my head, I steeled myself, deciding that I had to act, and I remembered everything I had ever read about ghosts and the supernatural. I mustered as much anger as I could, and I screamed, "This is not your house!
This is not your house!"
at the top of my lungs. "This is my house, and you do not belong here. Get out now!" As soon as I drew in another breath, the wind and the laughter and the candlelight stopped. What? The room appeared normal. Light came on, and the shower curtain was pulled back by someone inside. It was my Uncle Joe.
What
Uncle
are you
Joe,
doing?
I asked. His warm smile and kind eyes let me know it was truly him. He smiled and chuckled and said,
I'm sorry, I was just joking. I wanted to give you a little scare.
And I'm naked.
He was wearing his usual khakis and a 70s sweater, and his eyes were bright and cheerful. Uncle Joe was my father's older brother. Joe had no children himself and has always been the fun uncle who would tell jokes and do little magic tricks for me and my other cousins. His best trick was tying a rope into a knot and then sliding the knot off the rope. The other kids and I were always amazed. He was a bit of a clown and a prankster, so all of this suddenly made sense. I instantly felt at ease and laughed. You fooled me. It's okay. And we both laughed.
Son of a bitch.
Then the dream faded into nothingness. Is that the sound of nothingness, Tim?
Yeah, pretty much.
At around 7 a.m. on New Year's Day, I was woken by my phone buzzing as I received a text message. It was a text from my father and Joe's sister. I opened it and it read, Joe has been taken to the hospital. They think it's his heart. Please come if you can. I immediately jumped out of bed. I got dressed and told my groggy husband what had happened.
What? What?
I sped to the hospital. When I arrived at the hospital about 15 minutes later, Uncle Joe was already gone. My aunt told me that he had passed away at the care facility he was living in, and the attendants had found him and called the ambulance per the protocol. No, no ambulance sound. All right. Oh. I gently touched his forehead, and while his skin was soft, he was ice cold. Uncle Joe was 86 and had lived a long, rich life. At his memorial service, his friends recalled how funny he was and how much he liked practical jokes and games. While it was always sad to say goodbye, it was good to know that he was now at peace, resting after a life well lived. In all my life, I had never, ever had a dream about him or with him in it, except for that one last dream where he played a final prank before saying goodbye. An interesting side note, Joe passed away on January 1st. His father, my grandfather, died on December 31st, and his mother, my grandmother, died on December 30th. They're all buried in the same plot, and the tombstone is quite remarkable to look at with all of those dates lined up. That's my story. I hope you enjoyed it. Your loyal listener, Amy Kay, from Leominster, Massachusetts, it's Tim.
Home of the New England Patriots.
Bum, 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 bum. That was a good story. I hope you enjoyed our makeshift theater of the mind.
There you go.
Hi, Dave and Tim. I started listening to your podcast recently ever since I heard Dave on Bill Engvall's podcast, My Two Cents. I find the paranormal interesting and have what I now believe to be my share of the paranormal with regards to my dreams. Let me explain what I mean. When I was little, approximately 3 years old in 1979, we temporarily lived with my maternal grandparents in a house that was built in 1970. As my father was laid off from his job, my mother didn't work yet. Nothing was weird about the house. It was just an ordinary built house located in the Midwest. My parents were still married at the time, and from time to time I would sleep in their bed to take my nap, as my bed was an old couch. The couch was sort of comfy for a three-year-old. Anyway, we lived in the unfinished basement that my grandfather tried to make a suitable bedroom for us by putting a divider in the middle of the basement, making a freestanding wall of cabinets and carpet rug to keep the room cozy for all seasons. Anyway, on a particular afternoon, I was taking my nap. My mom happened to be with me when I sat up and started pointing at something. I'll try and describe the scene the best I can. What I was seeing was a hospital scene with hospital beds, IV poles, and medical equipment. I watched hospital staff walking around in a hallway in scrubs and surgical masks, and it wasn't seeing this in black and white or in multicolor. And I normally dream in vivid multicolors, but it was just a grainy olive green color. And it appeared as though I was watching an old television show, but without the television set, as the scene before me had the appearance of wavy lines going through it. As this was going on, a doctor or a nurse in scrubs came directly to me and was trying to take me from my mother's arms. The dream was strange to the point that it felt like I was really living it. and I was scared that the nurse or doctor was really going to take me from my mother. What made the most interesting aspect of this dream was that I was wide awake, and my mother was holding me during all of this. It seemed that the green scene was very real, and I'm not sure what made it go away. What do you guys make of that? This sort of dream never happened to me again. On a side note, I'd never been to a hospital before that dream happened, as I can best recall. P.S. I've never told anyone about this. I'm not sure that my mother even recalls what happened that day. I've been afraid to ask her. Your newest fan, Rachel M., living in the Midwest. Thank you for finding us, Rachel. Here's what I believe happened. There is this thing called the hypnagogic or hypnopompic states, and those are the moments going in and coming out of sleep. And sleepwalkers sometimes live in that realm. So you think you're consciously awake, but you're truly still in that dream form, and you're relating that dream. Your consciousness can't tell the reality around you. To your mom, you were wide awake. But to you and your consciousness, you were out. You were out like a light. But this was what was playing out before your eyes. All right, our final story for today. Hi, my name is Alan. I recently updated your app and was listening to one of your archive shows from 2016 on cryptids. I was very surprised to hear you mention your sighting of a flying manta ray type object. I also witnessed one of these objects when I was 10 or 11 years old. I'm now 50, and the incident is still fresh in my mind. It's the only thing I've seen in my entire life that I just cannot come up with a plausible explanation for. It is the primary reason that I have been interested in and at least open to possibility of unexplained creatures and UFOs. I'm glad you used the description flying manta because without ever telling anyone about it, those would have been the exact words I would have chosen. I was unaware anyone else had ever seen one and had never researched it at all because of that, as I thought I was the only one. This was in southern Alabama. Quick description, shaped like a manta or bat ray with no tail, diamond-shaped, color bluish-gray, size 3.5 to 4 feet across, movement undulating body wings but not flapping, moving straight and level 10 to 15 feet above the ground at what I would call a fast walking pace. Broad daylight, it moved from west to east across our 3-acre yard. I saw it coming, watched it come closer, and it passed directly in front of me at a closest approach of about 20 yards and then moved off from left to right. I didn't really look like a living thing, but at the same time seemed to move with conscious deliberation. It was totally silent. That's it. Thanks for the great show. Also, thanks for letting me put this into words after all these years. It was kind of therapeutic to be able to get it off my chest to someone who may understand how seeing something like this can stick with you your whole life. Thanks. And that comes from Alan Fowler. Well, Alan, thank you for sharing your story. And yes, I firmly believe what you saw because you just described it perfectly. But mine was a nighttime visual. That's it for today, kids. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Remember, tomorrow, the Skoll Experiment. This is by far one of the wildest paranormal stories you'll ever hear, so tune in for that. And True Crime Tuesday, who murdered Bob Crane? Hogan from TV's Hogan's Heroes will be joined by Robert Crane Jr. as we look at this chilling case, this unsolved mystery. Or has it been solved? But nobody's gone to justice for it. We'll find out about that tomorrow on the best in True Crime Talk Radio. You can sign up by going to darknessradio.com, click on that True Crime Tuesday banner. Never miss another minute in the best of True Crime Talk Radio. For Tim Dennis, I'm Dave Schrader, and you've been listening to Beyond the Darkness.